Well, good morning. It's lovely to see each and every one in the house of the Lord today. We do welcome you in the Saviour's name, and we pray that the Lord will bless us and the Lord will be with us as we're here in His house. Let's take our hymn books, please. We're going to turn to the carol section in our hymn book, the hymn 76, the page is 206. The hymn 76, Hark the Herald Angels Sing, Glory to the Newborn King, Peace on Earth and Mercy Mild, God and Sinners Reconciled. The hymn 76, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Let's just still ourselves in God's presence and unite together in prayer and seek the Lord's blessing, the Lord's help this day. Let's unite together. Our Father and our God in heaven, we come to Thee in and through that precious and that wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee for our Saviour. We thank Thee for the one who left the splendors of glory, the one who then was veiled in our flesh. We thank Thee that God became man, and so was and continueth to be God and man in two distinct natures, and yet one person forever. We can truly say, great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. And Father, we thank Thee at this time of the year that we do remember especially that Jesus, the Son of God, came into this world. We thank Thee, Lord, for the coming of Christ. And we thank Thee for the life of Christ. And this day we glory in the death of Christ. We thank Thee for His obedience and His going to the cross on our behalf and shedding His precious blood for the remission of our sins. We thank Thee that it's through His death upon the cross that we can have everlasting life. We come to Thee rejoicing in everything that Thou hast done for us. We praise Thee for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy. We praise Thee for Thy love, Thy compassion and Thy care. We praise Thee for Thy holiness. We rejoice this day that Thou art a holy God. And Father, we come to Thee and we do, even at the outset of this meeting, pray for that fresh cleansing in the blood of Jesus Christ, that Thou wilt forgive us for our sins, that Thou wilt wash us, O Lamb of God, and cleanse us from all sin. And Father, that Thou wilt be unto us all that we need, even in this time today. We thank Thee for the return of the Lord's Day. We thank Thee for the joy that it gives us to know that though Jesus died, that He is alive today, and He is alive forevermore. We praise Thee for the opportunity to be here today, for Thy mercy and Thy goodness even towards us and watching over us, bringing us here in safety. We pray that Thou wilt bless even today as we are in Thy house. We thank Thee for our Sunday school and for our Bible class. We thank Thee for every boy and girl each week as they come and hear Thy precious word. We thank Thee, Lord, that they're here today even to take part in the service. We pray that Thou wilt bless them, that Thou wilt help them, take away all nerves, O Lord, and bless them even as they take part in the service. May it be a blessing to themselves, and may it be a blessing even unto us. And may it bring honour and glory unto Thy name alone. Lord, remember all of the families that are represented here today. We thank Thee for them. We pray that Thou wilt undertake for every family, that Thou, O God, wilt meet them at the very point of their need, that Thou wilt bless them and encourage them. Thou knowest those homes that need Thee in particular. Thou knowest, O God, those with loved ones that are laid aside at this time of sickness. O Father, that Thou wilt touch, that Thou wilt raise them up to strength once again. We think of those in our congregation and even further afield that are mourning. O God, we think of those families in these last number of days, even, Lord, that have laid loved ones, even, Lord, so suddenly, even, O God, before Thee. And we thank Thee, Lord, even for the comfort that is found in Christ alone. We thank Thee for that grace that Thou hast been even on the families. We pray that Thou wilt continue, Lord, to be very near to them, to bind up the broken hearts, to, O God, undertake in every need, and to pour in even Thy Spirit amongst them. Lord, remember us for good today. Remember each one that is here. We pray especially as we come around Thy word, that Thou wilt speak to the young and to the old alike, that Thou wilt minister to every heart. And, O God, this day that salvation will come to this house. Hear and answer prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The hymn 78, as we continue to worship the Lord this morning, the hymn 78, and the page is 207, O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. The hymn 78, and again we'll stand as we sing, please. Well, it is a joy to have with us this morning all of the children, young people from our Sunday school and from our Bible class. When I look out and I see so many here, I realize you're not here for me. You're here to see all of the children and the young people. And we're delighted to have them. We do thank God for the opportunity every week that has been given to us as a congregation to teach them the Word of God. We thank you for sending your children every week and faithfully having them here under the instruction and under the sound of the Word of God. And we're looking forward now as they come to take part. The first to come up is our sister Naomi, and then the children will come on after that.
I'm sure you're all very familiar with the story of the Saviour's birth, but I wonder if you have ever considered that the birth of Jesus also reveals how we can be born again, how we can know this new birth. Firstly, Jesus was born as the heaven-sent Saviour. For us to be born again, we too must accept him as the only one appointed for our salvation. Secondly, the child Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit. For us to be born again, that must also be the work of the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we notice that Jesus was born in humble surroundings. For us to be born again, the place within our hearts must be humble. Fourthly, he was born as the highest sovereign. For us to be born again, we too must accept him as our King. And lastly, Jesus was born as the only hope for sinners. For us to be born again, we too must rest upon him alone. As we listen to the children and young people of the Sunday School and Bible class, I trust we will all see our own personal need to be born again through the one whose birth we remember this morning.
Jesus born as heaven's Saviour. The Bible makes it very clear that Jesus was the promised Messiah, announced in eternity past. His birth fulfilled the coming of the Saviour of the world. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, we read,
"But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting."
As Jesus was heaven's appointed Messiah, so also is he the way appointed for salvation through the new birth. For as the Bible declares, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Thank you. Jesus, born of the Holy Spirit. Jesus wasn't born of an earthly father. He was born of God the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 tells us.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When, as his mother, Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with the child of the Holy Ghost.
In the same manner, if you are to be born again, it cannot be of human effort, but only by the Holy Spirit. As Jesus said, except man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit.
Surroundings. Jesus wasn't born in a palace or under riches. He was born in the most humble of surroundings. In the Gospel according to Luke we read,
And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
The Bible tells us that God resisteth the proud but giveth grace unto the humble. And if you are to be born again, Jesus will only enter a humble heart. Not like that of the Pharisee, but like that of the publican, who smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Thank you.
one as the highest sovereign. Although Jesus was born into humble surroundings, he was born as the King of Kings. Luke tells us that the angel Gabriel said to Mary,
"And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David."
If you are to be born again, you must accept him not only as your Saviour, but also as Lord, as the King of your life. For Jesus said, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me."
Hope for sinners. Jesus was born into this world to be the great hope for hopeless sinners. We read that the angels announced,
"For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men."
We were without hope in this present world, but the news is great. Because of the birth of Jesus, you can be born again and have a sure hope for eternity. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out."
This time, when we come to remember the birth of Jesus, we hope you will also remember the reason he came into this world, and that you will consider your need of the new birth and make sure you're born again. We would like to end our program with one final piece. I'm sure you'll all join us in singing it.
Thank you very, very much to all of the children, to the young people. It's been a blessing to hear you this morning, to have you taken part, apart from that last bit. It was the worst kept secret ever. Thankfully, they didn't try and put any age up on the screen. That was an important bit too. Somebody was saying to me yesterday, and I simply said, I've decided to stop changing the number. Just stick with the one number and just leave it at that. Going forward. But no, it has been a blessing to have our children, really enjoy them, and it's lovely to have them taking part. It's lovely to see them every week, even coming to the house of God and having that desire and the parents' desire as well to have them in under the sound of God's word. We do pray that the Lord will bless each one of them. The Lord will even use their ministry to speak to their own hearts and also to the hearts of each and every one that is here. Let me welcome you in the Saviour's name. It's so lovely to see each one that is gathered with us this morning in the house of God. If you're visiting, we do give you a very special welcome, and we do pray that the Lord will bless you as you're gathering with us and fellowshipping in God's house with us this morning. If you're from the area, we give you a very special welcome. We encourage you even to come again, and the Sunday's coming, and the will of the Lord, whenever you have that opportunity, do come along and be part of our congregation here every single Sunday. It's lovely as well to have the Reverend McVeigh and his family with us. They're right up the back there. We do welcome them and congratulate them as well on the recent birth of a little one. We pray that the Lord will bless them and be unto them all that they need. Just a couple of announcements. Firstly, to the children and young people, we remind you that immediately after the service, please do go across to the church hall and see your teachers there just for a final moment. And I'm sure whatever is there for you, you'll certainly enjoy. And we pray that the Lord will bless all of our teachers. And we do thank them for all of their effort, indeed, throughout the year. We remind you of tonight, the evening service at 7 p.m. And I'll be hearing the will of the Lord to conduct that service. And we're coming to the second part of Looking of Mary's Magnificat, her song there that's recorded for us in Luke chapter 1. It is a blessed song to study together. And we looked at the first part last Sunday evening, and we want to come back and look at the second part tonight. And we do invite you and encourage you even to come and to make that effort to come again to God's house even today. And our brother Stephen Anderson will be ministering in song as well this evening. And so we do leave that service before you, encourage you to come, if at all possible, to God's house. Then Monday and Tuesday, can we mention to you that both the WANA and the children's meetings are now in their Christmas holidays, and so they're both not on, but our Wednesday night prayer meeting will be on at 8 p.m. and it will just be for the 1 hour and not be preaching. We'll just have a reading and then a time of prayer together. And let me invite you and encourage you to make that effort even to come on Wednesday evening. I know it's a busy time of the year, seeing friends and seeing family, but if you can give that hour on Wednesday night, then certainly do come along and come around the throne of grace with us. The final prayer meeting of 2023. And let's even be found in God's house. The service is next Sunday in the will of the Lord. There's no Sabbath school and Bible class. It's off for the next couple of weeks. But there is the normal meetings, 11:30 and 7 p.m. And the regular seasons of prayer preceding both services. And we do invite you and encourage you to be here in God's house next Sunday. Next Sunday evening, we're bringing to a close all of the special meetings of December with the praise service. And it is giving thanks to the Lord for everything that He has done for us, even in this congregation in 2023. There'll be the various reports of the different works. There'll be some items of praise as well. And then I'll bring a closing word. And there'll be a time of supper afterwards. And team two, you're responsible for the supper next week. I do give each one a very warm invitation to come along again next Sunday and to be here and even hear of how the Lord has blessed in the various works and undertaken in all of the needs that have arisen throughout this year. We do mention to you as well that Bill Woods' book that has been produced by our brother Victor Maxwell, the Belfast boy in Brazil, these are selling very, very well. We've had to get another 10, and already one of those is gone. And so we've 9 of these this morning. So if you're really struggling, and of course we're now into Christmas Eve, there's nowhere open because it's the Lord's Day. We shouldn't be in the shops. But if you need something, we can get you a book today and take that with you and even give it as a gift to someone. It will bless your heart. And as I said, there's 9 of them left. See your brother James after the service, and he'll be able to give one of those to you. Can we mention to you as well, there's a number of these calendars, and these were given to the children at the Sunday school, or they're being given to the children at the Sunday school. They were given to them in the children's meeting as well. But if you have a child, maybe a grandchild, and you'd like to give them one, if they don't get one, then please do see your brother James also afterwards. There are a number of spare ones, different wee pictures every month of different animals and scripture texts in them, and certainly we want to use them and make use of them. So do see your brother James if you can give them and pass them on even to others. There are a number of devotionals in the front porch. We're coming very quickly to the end of a year and the start of a new year. And if you can make use of those devotional books there in the front table, then please do take one with you and even seek to read it every single day and alongside of the copy of God's Word and seek to study God's Word throughout the year to come. Can we mention to you as well, we did mention last Wednesday evening, but there is a need for a church cleaner at this time and into the new year and for the foreseeable future. I want to place on record our thanks to our brother Bill, who has undertaken the work of cleaning the church so faithfully for a good number of years now. But at this time, Bill has to step aside from it. Maybe you'd like to be part of maybe a team coming together every week to clean the church, or maybe you'd like to say, well, I can give myself to clean a certain part of the church. Well, do speak to us as soon as you possibly can. There is that need coming into the new year, and if you can help in that practical way, then we certainly do encourage you even to think about it and to speak to us in regards to that matter. I do remember and continue to remember those that have been sick of our congregation. As we mentioned, a good number have got home, but our sister Kathy is still in hospital at this time, and we do encourage you to continue to remember her in prayer. We're thankful the Lord has undertaken, given wisdom to the doctors and to the nurses as these scans and the tests are taking place, and just continue to pray that the Lord will be on to her all that she needs. And do also remember our sister Susan Boyd. Helen Hutchison's mum was taken into the Mater Hospital just at the end of last week. And do pray that the Lord will undertake for our sister Susan and be near to her and even strengthen her. And if it is the Lord's will, to bring her home again in these days. As we mentioned, Drew Gilmore, Betty Lewis, Sidney Swindell have all got out of hospital. And so do continue to remember that that full recovery will be given to each one of them in the days to come. And finally, just can we mention and wish each and every one a very happy Christmas. May you know the Lord's blessing, the Lord's presence, the Lord's grace at this time of the year. For some it is a very hard time. May the Lord's presence be very near to them and very precious even at this time. And may they know the grace of God in these days. Let's take our hymn books, please. We're going to sing together the hymn number 80. And remain seated as our tithes and offerings are lifted. The hymn number 80, the page 208, once in royal David's city, stood a lowly cattle shed where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. The hymn 80, and remain seated as we sing, please. fill our hearts and look to the Lord in prayer just for a moment before we come even to speak to the children, and indeed to all the adults as well this morning. Let's just unite together in the word of prayer. Father in heaven, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee for help that thou hast already been on to us. We praise thee for the ministry, even of the boys and girls and of the young people. We pray that thou wilt bless it and that thou wilt use it even for thine honour and for thy glory. Now as we come to consider thy word, as we come to speak even, O God, we pray that thou wilt minister to every heart, even as thy word comes forward. In the simple childlike story, we pray that thou wilt speak. Thou wilt, O God, awaken hearts, that individuals, mums and dads, maybe boys and girls, will realize that they need to be saved, will realize that there is no salvation in any other, but salvation is found in Christ alone. O Father, minister to us even now, we pray thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things that changes whenever we're coming up to the Christmas time, and it seems to be getting earlier and earlier every year, one of the things that changes is people's houses. And you can go along, and we were coming down the road last night, and I nearly crashed a number of times because I kept looking to the right and to the left and kept studying other people's houses because they were so well lit up. They were covered with lights and all these different ornaments outside. And there is a house not too far from here which the first time I saw it, I nearly crashed the car. Because there was a Santa Claus, an inflatable Santa Claus, which was higher than the two-story roof. And I was sitting looking at it going, what? And then I thought, would that look good outside my house? And then I thought, no, not this year. You know, but everybody's houses changes. So many people decorate them in so many different ways. And one of the things that people put up is a Christmas tree. And sometimes it's more than one tree. Sometimes maybe you'll have a whole house and you'll look around that house and there'll be maybe one in the kitchen, one in the hallway, one in the living room. And some people even have little trees in their bedrooms. And so the whole house is just decorated everywhere with Christmas trees. And some of them look really, really nice. Now, you can't see that, but it's a lovely picture. If you could just imagine it all lit up and there's the fire in the corner and it's looking so bright and so festive. And people decorate them in so many different ways and they make them look so beautiful. Some people it's just wrapping lights, some people it's hanging little decorations, some people it's hanging other items, whatever it may be, maybe things that the children have made. And the whole tree is just decorated everywhere. You know, one of my favourite things to do, if I have a tree that I can do it, I just put it straight up through the hatch into the roof space without taking stuff off it. It is an easier way of doing it. If you can just lift it up and lift it down without ever changing anything, it's a perfect way to do it. It's less hassle because it's not me that decorates the tree. It's never me that decorates the tree. I lift the things down and then I immediately leave the house and I leave it to my wife, and usually some of the boys will help her. But then when I come back, it's usually then looking so wonderful. But you know, I was thinking about the Christmas tree, and I was thinking, well, where did the Christmas tree come from? How did it come to be that we bring trees into our house, whether it be ones that we buy in the shop or maybe a real tree that we have for that time when we have that beautiful fragrance and the beautiful smells coming off the tree? Well, you actually have to thank a Christian for having Christmas trees. Because it was a man by the name of Martin Luther, the great reformer. And he was the first to bring Christmas trees into his house. He was walking home one night and there was no street lights or nothing like that, but the whole place was lit up. There was a beautiful moon that night shining down upon this tree, and he saw it and he thought, wow, this looks fantastic. And so what he did was he went home, he went into the shed, he got the axe out, he cut down the tree, he dragged it home. Now imagine that today. Imagine your daddy just went somewhere else, some other person's garden, cut down the tree and dragged it home again. Martin Luther, he wanted to bring this tree into his house to show Katerina, his wife, and the children how even it glistened and how the light shone upon it and how it looked so good. And so he brought it into the house. And ever since that, then, people have been bringing Christmas trees, whether real trees or fake trees, into the house and decorating them. You know, when I think of trees in the scripture, The very first tree that was ever mentioned is the tree that's found in the book of Genesis in the chapter 2. In verse 17 it says, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." And that tree was there in the Garden of Eden, and we've looked at that even in our own church. The whole garden was just full of trees and full of fruit and full of all of this different produce. But there was one tree that God said to Adam and Eve, "You can eat of every single tree, but there's one tree you're not to touch. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil." And yet we know Adam and Eve sinned because Adam and Eve took of that tree, they ate of that tree. And so sin came into the world. And death by sin. And death has passed upon all mankind in that we all sinned and we all do sin. Every single boy and girl, every single man and woman, we all sin. We all fall short of the glory and of the standard that God has set. And so another tree is needed. It's interesting because the cross is actually referred to, and Peter refers to it as a tree. He speaks in 1 Peter 2 in verse 24. He says, "Who his own self bare our sin in his own body upon the tree." You see, boys and girls, mums and dads, that's why Jesus Christ was born. He wasn't simply born to be a blessing to individuals and to help individuals, and of course he did this. He went about doing good, speaking good, working good. He did everything that was needed. But Christ came into this world, was laid in a manger, and took our humanity and lived a perfect life. Why? To go to the cross. The entire reason that he was born was he was born to die. He was born to be our sacrifice. He was born to take our sin in his own body. And to die upon that tree. You know, there are many different ways that you can decorate a tree. Some people will have the lights upon it. Some people will put baubles upon a tree. Now, I wonder why there are baubles in a tree. Because apparently way back when, they put apples in trees. They would hang an apple on a Christmas tree. That is so boring. I loved it when I was a child because my mum used to always buy that the little packet of the chocolate with the little strings on them, and then you tied the chocolate to the trees. Now, you know I don't like chocolate. But they used to hang them, and then we couldn't wait for mum to take down the tree because we were only allowed the chocolate once the tree was being taken down. But that's where baubles came from. They used to hang apples in the trees, and then they changed it and they started making these baubles and hanging baubles upon the tree instead. But you know, I think of that and I think of the different way that people decorate trees, and I think of what the tree can even symbolize. And you think of the tree and the light that it gives. You can darken the whole room, turn off the lights in the ceiling and the wee lamps and the stands, and then you turn on the lights of the Christmas tree and it will shine and it will fill the whole room with light. But of course, nowadays we put proper lights, don't we? Martin Luther's day and even days after that, they put real candles on the tree. Now, how do you balance a candle on a tree without setting the whole tree on fire? Children, don't do this. Don't ask mum or dad next year, "Mum, I've got a box of candles, we're going to light them this year." Please don't. I'm not paying the insurance bill of why your house burnt down and why the fire service was called out. But they used to hang these candles upon the tree, and they used to light the whole room with these candles, and that reminds us and that teaches us of the light of the world. You see, our world is dark. Any adult will know this. All you have to do is listen to the news. It's filled with nothing but sadness. It's filled with nothing but dismay. It's either wars or rumors of wars. It's either famine or it's murders or it's theft or it's some other awful action that is happening somewhere in the world and even right around our land and even in our community. There are dark days. There are difficult days. There are times whenever there's great sin abounding in all sides. The world is just dark. And it's dismal. It's depressing. But yet Jesus, he says, "I am the light of the world." In other words, Christ is that light. He shines forth. He dispels darkness, because that's what light does. Whenever light comes in, darkness is gone. You can't have light and darkness. You'll either have one or the other. And so whenever there is light, the darkness is gone. And Jesus is the one who says, I am the light of the world. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See, isn't that the blessing whenever you're seated? You're in Christ, you're walking in that light, you have that light even within you, that the darkness that is around does not enter into you again, but rather you're saved, you're in Christ, you're one of his children, and you have that blessing, you have that hope. You have that joy. Even in the midst of such sadness, in the midst of such horror that's all around us, but yet there's a joy, there's a peace within the child of God. Why? We have Christ. We have what we need. We have everything we need. You know, boys and girls, I was thinking about the tree itself. There are very interesting characteristics when it comes to the tree. Firstly, a Christmas tree is an evergreen tree. In other words, you know that whenever it comes the autumn time, that there is the falling of the leaves, and all of them turn yellow, and the reds and the rusty colours, and then they'll just fall to the ground, and then, well, they'll either blow about, or maybe Mummy and Daddy will send you out to lift them and put them in the bin, or whatever the case may be. But evergreen trees never lose their leaves. Evergreen trees remain green all the year round. Everything else may change, but evergreen trees stay green. They keep their leaves. Everything is still there. That reminds me of something else that is everlasting. It's the salvation that Jesus gives. It tells us in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, life eternal, life that never dies, is only found in Jesus Christ. You will not find it in anyone else. You will not find it in anything else. Doesn't matter how healthy a lifestyle you live, or how healthy your diet is, or what you consume your time with, or what you give to. It doesn't matter. None of those things are the elixir of life. We all grow old. We all change. My hair changes. Some hairs fall out. I'm not going to look at anybody. I'm going to look at the ceiling. But some hair falls out. Everything dies. Everything changes. But everlasting life never changes. What Christ can give you in your heart will live on forever and forever and forever. You know, something else that I noticed about the evergreen tree is that it is an upwards tree. I don't know if you've ever studied this or ever looked at this before, but an evergreen tree in the fir tree or the pine tree that we always take for the Christmas time, the branches only go upwards. Whenever they come out, and then they don't bow over with the weight. And so many of our trees, whenever they branch out, and all of the leaves and everything, and all of the fruit and the weight upon it, it just bows downwards towards the ground. But an evergreen tree, a fir tree, a pine tree, when the branches go out, they go up. They're pointing upwards. That's a wonderful testimony of what it means to be a Christian. Indeed, what it means for each one of us, because in all of our lives, what are we to do? We are to honour, we are to glorify God, we are to lift up our eyes and our hearts onto the hills, onto the one who is above all things, in all things, through all things, and the one who helps. It tells us in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31, it says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. That means your homework. That means when mum or dad asks you to do something around the house, you don't simply complain and moan, it's not my turn. They haven't done it in ages, I've done it the last 3 nights. That's a personal one. My children know what I'm talking about. But so often in school you get all of the big homework and you're thinking, oh, I have to do this homework. Do it unto the Lord. All of your chores, do them unto the Lord. And parents, with everything that we do, every time that we have anything to do, every time that we have food before us and we're about to eat it, give the honour and the praise unto the Lord. Everywhere that we go and every job that we do and we're enabled to do, you give the glory unto the Lord. Why? Because He alone is worthy. You think in the time there of the trees, and then it tells us also, even in the midst of life, all of the upheavals, all of the concerns, all of the worries. What does it tell us in Scripture? Look upwards. Don't simply set your eyes upon that which is around you. Don't simply fill your minds and your thoughts with all of the troubles and the trials of life. But rather it tells us, Luke 21:28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, your redemption draweth nigh. You know, adults will know this especially. How much has changed in the last 10, 20 years? How much change there has been in the world? How many times of concern? You think of there's been great recessions that have swept right across the world. There have been viruses that have swept right across the world. And all of these things have filled individuals with dread and with panic, with worry, with concern. And yet, what are we to do? Look upwards. Fix our eyes upon Christ. You see, there's nothing catches Christ by surprise. None of us knew how bad it was going to be in 2008 when the recession hit. None of us knew how bad it was going to be with the pandemic and how many things would be shut down and how everything would change. God knew every single thing that was going to happen. There's no such thing as a crisis in God's mind. Because He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who knows the end from the beginning. Therefore, who is there better to turn to? Who is there better to trust in than the Lord Himself? That tree there, its boughs, its branches, and up they go. They look upwards. They're giving their honour, their glory, and they're keeping, as it were, they're looking and pointing that way. I'm encouraging your life. Ever look upwards. Lift your eyes onto the hills from whence cometh your help. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but rather in all your ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct your paths. You know, I think as well of the time around trees at this time of the year. There are many gifts. There's presents. There's all of that giving and receiving of gifts. There are a number of different times in my house. There are a number of wee rules when I was growing up. One of them was you were never allowed to open the presents until everyone else was up on Christmas morning. And so we always had that time whenever we were trying to get everyone else up. I have a rule now for my boys. They're not allowed to come to our bedroom door before a certain time in the morning. And once that clock hits the second, there's a knock at the door. Right, we're up. Don't know how long I've been waiting there for. But I remember when we were young, there was a rope tied around the door handle, and then tied to the banister. We couldn't get the door open. And we weren't allowed in until everyone else was up. And there was one year that we got it open just a little fraction. And the next year, not only was there a rope in the door, there was sellotape down the door too. But there was another tradition in my house when I was young. We had a prayer time. Everyone had to read. We read the Bible together as a family, and there was a time of prayer before presents. I will put my hand up. My prayers were extremely short that day. My mother's were never any shorter. But mine were always short. And then we get into the room, and all of the presents are there. And then there was another tradition. You had to watch each other opening presents, and it always started with the youngest up to the oldest. I was third. I have twin sisters, and they get stacks of presents every Christmas. And I'm sitting there going, hurry up. They're twins. What one has, the other's going to have. Just hurry up, just get past, because I want my presents. and I'd get to my time and I'd open all my presents. All of the different gifts from aunties, uncles, granny, and granddad. All of these things, and I was like, wow, these are fantastic. They're all gone today. I don't have any of those presents today. Mum could probably tell you a number of those presents I probably didn't have by the end of January. Those things that you wanted so much, those things that were so exciting, and you just couldn't wait to get open and get playing with and have all of the time with. And yet, they're all gone. And yet there's a gift today that is offered. It's the greatest gift of all. It's eternal life. Because it tells us the wages of sin, it's death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Boys and girls, when you get a gift, you take it. If your mummy or your daddy or your granny or your granddad gives you a gift, you're not just going to stand there like this. You'll put your arms out and you'll take it. And you rip off the paper as quick as you can, and then you'll be just diving into it, getting it all open, getting it all assembled, and you'll be having all of that fun and all of that play with and everything else, and you just can't wait. And yet the greatest gift of all is found in Jesus Christ. And there are so few who ever want it. They'll want the latest gadgets. They'll want the money side of things. They'll want all of the traction. The ladies maybe want the jewellery. The men want all of the gadgets. And the kids want all of the toys and all of the rest of it. The PlayStations, the Xboxes, all of those things. They want it all. And yet those things will all come to an end. They'll break. They'll get old, they'll get worn. Jesus says, I'll give you a gift that'll last forever. I'll give you something that you'll need forever. I'll give you eternal life. I'll take away your sin. And I'll wash you in my blood. And I'll prepare you for a home in heaven. Will you take it? And so many people just stand and go, I don't want it. Some say, I'll take that gift later on. I'll take that at the end of my life. But maybe by the end of your life, you're unable to do anything. Lord Jesus today is saying, I have a gift that I paid for myself upon the cross with my own blood. I have a gift today that stands the test of time. I have a gift today that is as precious today as it was 2,000 years ago. I have a gift today that is as precious today as it will be in 10,000 years' time and all eternity. That gift is still the same value today. Will you take it? And I leave you with that question. The gift of eternal life. Boys and girls, mums and dads, grandparents, will you take it? Jesus offers it. You simply have to take it. Let's have a word of prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we bow in thy presence. We thank thee for the gift of salvation. We thank thee for Jesus Christ who paid for it with his own precious blood upon the cross. We thank thee that that gift of eternal life is perfect. And for us it is free. And oh Father, we pray that in this building today, boys and girls and mums and dads and even grandparents will take this gift, will accept their need of this gift, and will accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh Father, bless, we pray thee. Be unto us all that we need as we separate one from the other. Bring us again tonight, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen.